Everyone, welcome to Story Nerds. We are a podcast that loves to nerd out over books, TV, and movies. I'm Hannah Davis, one of your hosts.
And I'm Jessica Kate, and we are here today with romantic comedy author Bethany Turner. And Bethany has
to be back.
Yeah, we are so excited to have you. You've just released your second novel called Wooing Katie McCaffrey, and Hannah's just started it. I've been trying to get it into my library, but I'm having trouble, so I'm going to just have to get it myself and start it soon, I think. But we're super excited, both being fans of your first book, and we're also all fans of Nora Ephron, which is our topic today.
Yay! Love Nora. Love Nora. So
for those of you who haven't gotten the book yet, the dedication to Wooing Katie McCaffrey is dedicated to Nora Ephron.
It is.
Tell us really
quick. If you don't know, tell us who she is first and then why you love her so much.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Nora Ephron is responsible in one way or another for most of the romantic comedies that we know and love of the modern era. Although I don't even know, is it the modern era anymore? I'm not sure my era is the modern era. Of my era.
It's, and it's all modern. Me, so.
She's also slightly dead. But
oh, she is slightly dead. Yeah, she passed away in 2012 or something like that.
Yeah. We lost a great writer.
We did. And she's responsible for When Harry Met Sally, Sleepless in Seattle, You've Got Mail, Julie and Julia, and so many other things. And so, yeah, as far as what I love about her, we're going to have to be more specific than that, because I love everything about Nora Ephron. And she is I did dedicate this book to her, because as I was writing it, it was like, yep, this book isn't in my mind. This story isn't in my mind if it weren't for the influence of Nora Ephron. So, I love Nora. She's my writing hero.
Awesome. I really want to get into our favorite Nora Ephrons right now. And Bethany, I want you to tell us about your favorite Nora Ephron movie, or maybe just some favorite quotes of yours, which could include like all of the movies.
I know. I'm like, okay, act one, scene one. and I really thought long and hard about this over the past day or so, long and hard, what is my favorite Nora? Because I'm always going to go to You've Got Mail as my favorite rom-com. And so then it's easy to say, well, that clearly then must be my favorite Nora Ephron. And in a lot of ways it is. But if I'm thinking, okay, Nora, what makes this my Nora favorite? I've got to go with When Harry Met Sally. So it's kind of a bold choice.
Whoa,
it is. Yeah.
Bold.
I know. I'm branching out. Like, anyone who knows me at this point is like, she spoke out against You've Got Mail. But the thing with You've Got Mail, here's the thing with You've Got Mail. We loved You've Got Mail as much as we did. I mean, there's so much brilliance in it, and Nora has so much brilliance in it, and I will go on for days and days and days about that. But we wouldn't have cared as much about You've Got Mail if we hadn't already cared about Sleepless in Seattle and Tom and Meg and what she had created there, and the brilliance of that, of us only having 2 minutes of them together in the entire movie. So by the time You've Got Mail came, we're like, yay, they're on screen together. Life is perfect. So I'm like, well, that's kind of complicated then. But if I look at When Harry Met Sally, first of all, I think the finale of When Harry Met Sally and Billy Crystal's line of, when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with someone, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. Whoa. I mean, to me, that's such a fantastic line, and it's based in so much. That entire script is so smart. It brings in, you're going to have to stop me, because I'm seriously, I'm ready to.
You, we won't stop, like, you right enough. Now. Let's let
you. Okay. I'm like, I could just go on. There's so much. That covers almost all the big romantic tropes are carried within When Harry Met Sally. I mean, we've got friends falling in love. We've got opposites attract. We've got Hate to Love. All of these huge themes that, you know, most movies, if they can do one of them well, it becomes a classic. Mm-hmm. Nora did all of them well in one movie with two characters. And so much freshness, so much real. And I mean, it is obviously, you know, as writers and readers of Christian romance, it's less clean than a lot of the themes yeah. that we love. And, you know, I acknowledge that. So let's disregard that for the moment. But it's so smart. It's so real. It's just brilliant. And I also think Billy Crystal looks so cute with a beard, and that's the movie where we get to see him with a beard. So I love it.
So I found this really interesting. You said that it's so smart, and I have noticed that about Nora's writing, her dialogue, her wit, and more than just her fiction. She also was a trained journalist. That was where she started. Yeah. She was actually married for a short time to Carl Bernstein, who broke the Watergate story in the 70s. And in that, you find this the style of writing that's just so fresh and fun and spunky, yet like fluid and romantic. And it's almost nostalgic with a quirky twist on it. And her style of writing in her voice, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, is very much so the same. And I love the fact that she carries that in. I feel like it was perfect for her to go writing into a screenplay. It just was like the perfect transition for her voice.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's an intellectual in her writing. And yet she doesn't talk over people.
No.
And I think that is that journalism thing. I mean, we're talking, you know, like you said, I mean, Watergate, married to him during Watergate and all this. And she was a journalist before that and involved in so many different things. And she wrote an early script of All the President's Men that they didn't end up using, but that, you know, became kind of the basis for the Robert Redford, Dustin Hoffman film. And, you know, so she is such an intellectual, and yet she's so, I don't know, I feel like I could, you know, I could sit down for coffee with her. But she also creates these characters that are, her characters are smart. And, you know, you don't find the lovable doofus in a Nora Ephron movie very often. And if so, they're still not cast away. It's like they're lovably doofusy for a reason. You know, it's like everything she does, I think, has a reason, and yet it does flow so seamlessly that it doesn't seem as brilliant as it is a lot of times, I think. But
I don't know. She makes such beautiful observations about love. Like I was just saying to Hannah before that the best thing about Sleepless in Seattle to me is Tom Hanks and the way he was in love with his first wife and like the way he describes, you know, how she felt like home and different things. Yeah. And my favorite thing about When Harry Met Sally is Billy Crystal's speech at the end, which is really subverts the grand gesture trope at the end, because what he does is list all the tiny everyday things about her and their friendship that's formed the foundation for what's between them. And that's why he really loves her. And that, because that's what real love really is, you know, you're not doing grand gestures every single day. So that's nice.
Yeah. And that I love the character arcs of When Harry Met Sally. That's the other thing about it, where it's like these things that truly annoyed them about each other in the beginning do become things they love about each other. And not because of some great, I see it differently now. It's not that. It's they've just gone deeper and they know, you know, and so they've reached this point where it's like, well, that's all part of you. And, you know, so when he's listing, you know, that scene you were talking about, when he's listing the things he loves about her, and they're all the things that annoyed him in the beginning. And it's so romantic.
That is such a classic, like, hate to love sequence. You're like, oh man, like, I really do love you, but dang it, I didn't before.
And I have to say, the other thing I really love about them in that movie and the way she did those characters, is that she portrayed, and I would say this for most of her, certainly her classics that we're talking about, mm-hmm. she portrays men and women as different, but equal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is not a, she doesn't try to, she's not preaching a feminist agenda or anything like that. And yet, women in their very female ways can hold their own against the men. But she never strays from, women and men are very, very different animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love that because, you know, so we're, as we watch the arc with Harry versus Sally's arc, it's like they are handling things very different as men handle things, as women handle things. And that's okay. But, and yet there's this merging in the middle as they understand each other more. And I think the same kind of thing definitely happens with You've Got Mail in particular. So, yeah, okay.
That's all. And a nice thing with that is the Sally and Harry characters were very well-rounded. Like, they had lots of issues. They really needed those 12 years to grow up and learn about themselves and all that sort of thing. Like, often, this is something I'm trying to become aware of in my own writing, is to not build someone who's really great and has one problem, and once you fix that, they'll be all good. Like, Harry and Sally need to continue working on themselves.
Exactly.
They were very whole human beings.
Very true. Very true. And that even, you know, the things that really were the problems between them as far as personality, they don't go away. They just learn to work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so in the very end, when you have the, their sit down interview, you know, that they do all the couples and they're talking about their wedding cake and all this stuff. And this thing where she's describing her type A tendencies, basically, of everything on the side and all of that stuff. And now it's gone, even like we've watched Harry go from, wow, is this woman for real? That is so annoying. To, wow, that's kind of endearing. To now it's just, that's Sally. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just such a, they've just reached this even level. And
yeah, this comfort this, like, I know this person. This is exactly how they would behave.
Exactly. Exactly. So they didn't change and make all the problems go away. They've adjusted. Yeah. So.
Oh, so man. Good. So, Jess, tell me about Nora Ephron for you.
So, and I were talking a bit before about how the watching experience probably is a little different for me because I never watched any of these movies when they came out. I was a little bit young in most cases for them, but I've watched them later on in a different time of technology. So it's interesting, like, going back and looking at how different all the stuff is.
You've got mail in your iPhone all the time. Like, can I just pause really quick and tell you that this has become, I am Meg Ryan in today's world. Like, I am the compulsive email checker, and I swear that I would never be that person. And yet here I am with my phone, like, constantly refreshing. Did I get a new email? Do I need to worry about something else?
Uh-huh.
This is now my life. Unfortunately, there's no awesome, wonderful man to chat with me on the other end of it right now. But
yet. Yeah.
Yes,
in there.
We'll work
Joe
it.
Fox is out there. NY152 is coming for you, Hannah. Don't worry. No,
I don't know if that's a little weird. Maybe it should be like NY153.
Yeah, maybe.
Whoever.
Yeah.
The guy that started Tom Hanks.
Okay, Bethany kind of lived this story in your own life, didn't
yes,
you?
I did, as a matter of fact.
An internet, like, romance in the early days of the internet?
I did, early days. We met in a Yahoo chat room. So it was very much the You've Got Mail days of the internet. And to the point, and then, like, we had just met basically when You've Got Mail came out. Not just met, but we've just kind of begun. I know. And so I was just convinced, like, this was going to be our movie. And I bought it for my now husband and sent him a copy of it on VHS, of course. And, you know, all these different things. Cause I was just like, this is us, babe, you know, and all this. And he hates that movie so much. I can't even tell you. I'm like, but no, you don't understand. See, it's romantic like us. And he just doesn't see it that way. So,
That's okay. We'll forgive him because he obviously saw something of the special person you are.
Oh, well, thanks. I don't know. I haven't forgiven him fully for not liking the family yet, but you're better people than I am, apparently.
This is your Sally moment where you're just like, it's just him.
I've come to terms with it. You know?
Okay, back to Jess now, after a very round circle.
So I guess I watched the movies with a little bit of like modern internet stranger danger in mind, which I find hard to push away. But there are a lot of things to love about them. I do love the love-hate aspects in them because, oh my gosh, I love love-hate storylines so much. So I do love the whole thing with, you know, you've got mail that they hate each other in real life, but then are falling in love with each other, essentially via letters, just the email version. But it's not like our modern two-line emails that we do, you know, they're writing essays to one another. That is pretty cute. In Sleepless, I love how in love Tom Hanks was with his first wife, and Harry Met Sally, the hate to love and the friendship stuff, I really enjoy that. I did find Sleepless, the modern Stranger Danger thing, when Meg Ryan's like standing on the other side of the road and watching Tom Hanks and his kid, I was like, this lady needs to go to jail. Which may get me excommunicated from the romance community.
No, it's a little creepy, but here's the thing I will say about that. In its defense, in Nora's defense, Nora knew it was creepy too, and that's why we have Sally Annie after the fact going, what was I doing? That, you know, so it's like Nora redeems that from being too bad, though she realized it. But still,
and
I'm with you.
In a time when, you know, we didn't have everyone having big internet security things, you know, like this was less of an issue in 1993, or I think that's when it was made. So yeah.
And you think about the context, like,
for a lot.
Meg Ryan might seem like a stalker, but Tom Hanks, like, of course, with Jonah coming to talk on the phone, that was just like, I can understand why any woman would want to fall in love with him. Like, hello. So one thing I really, this kind of brings up an interesting point is, Nora's tendency to have these moments, if you will, those like silent moments where you can see everything on the actor's face and there's no dialogue, or if there is, it's like kind of an inner monologue kind of a thing. She does it so well, and I was trying to pinpoint exactly what it is and I can't figure it out. And I'm wondering, Bethany, like, do you know what I'm talking about? Those scenes where they're just sitting and they're processing and it's like, I'm falling in love, but there's nothing happening. She's so good at those. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is. She was so good at that. And I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think, here's what I think I don't know, I could be wrong. And she might be like, if she were living and I could actually get on the phone with her and I could be all stalkerish with her, like I would happily be. I think she was so good at understanding human nature that she knew what we were thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, she, and not only that she knew what we were thinking, but she primed the pump. Mm-hmm. She got us to where by the time those moments are happening, all it takes is, I imagine, was telling the actors like, okay, this is what's happening in your mind, and just kind of doing that. And we were so ready for it because it's where we were. Mm-hmm. And I think her pacing was perfection more often than not of, you know, if anything happened, if the timing had been off on some certain things, it's like we wouldn't have been there yet. It's like she had us along for the ride so beautifully in so many different things that we're falling in love right with the characters and seeing it with them. And so I just think she knew that we'd be with her. She trusted her audience. I think she knew, I don't know. That's my take on it. I'm like, yeah, she just knew what she was doing.
Yeah, I agree.
I actually was reading in prep for this episode a New York Times article about Nora Ephron and some of the lines she wrote and how she was really good and how some other rom-coms fall down in this area is that she built the emotional intimacy, not just between the romantic leads, but also between the friendships and the other relationships on screen. Mm-hmm. And that so many times people get distracted with those, you know, cute romantic moments where they get, I don't know, trapped in the elevator together or whatever the thing is, but they don't build those little building blocks of emotional intimacy between the people. Yeah. And that she always took the time to do that. And yeah, that was a really great point, I thought.
I could not agree more. And, you know, and like looking at When Harry Met Sally, her, you know, you have the Bruno Kirby and Carrie Fisher kind of falling in love alongside them, but that started as blind dates for each other and all this stuff. But she has, you know, and then, you know, same thing, Sleepless in Seattle with Rita Wilson and Victor Garber and Rosie O'Donnell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, but I don't know how she does it, really, but it's like there is such limited screen time, really. Mm-hmm. And yet those characters are not, she never makes her supporting characters feel like supporting characters. It's like they are so central to the primary characters that, I mean, I guess that is the very definition of a supporting character. And yet it's like we feel like we know them and we love them and care about them.
She implies a great deal of history, even though you're only watching one short scene between the supporting character and the main character. The way it's written and the way they act it and stuff shows that this is something that's happened 1,000 times in this kitchen, and you're just seeing one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very true.
I wanted to circle around back really quick. Jess and I were talking before we started about one of the moments in Julie Julia, about one of those silent moments. And Jess, I'm wondering if you would, like, you know what one I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I watched that movie for the first time last night, and my favorite part was watching. So as an Australian, I didn't know who Julia Child was or anything about her.
Yeah, so Julia, we were talking about. Okay. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great fun learning about her, and there's a scene where, and speaking of like the great storytelling without using any dialogue, there's a scene where she's walking down the street with her husband, and she's excitedly telling him about something, and they walk past a baby carriage, and she just kind of stumbles in what she's saying. And then he kisses her hand and they keep walking. And you're like, oh, my goodness. They just communicated so much with that. Their relationship was so beautiful and they loved each other so much. But you also really felt her pain at the fact that they didn't have kids. And they did it all without saying anything. And it was beautiful. Yeah. And then later on, there's another scene. And this whole thing is like a sort of a major, you can see it's a major part of their relationship. It is never, ever, ever said out loud.
It's never stated that she wants a baby.
A later key scene, where her sister has just gotten married and she gets a letter saying that, and she kind of starts to cry reading this letter and then says, Dorothy's pregnant, and he comes over and hugs her, and she says, I'm just so happy. But you can tell from the way that she's crying that she's absolutely just devastated as well. Aww. And oh my goodness. And yeah, there was not a word spoken aloud about it, but you just knew so much of what was between them. And their story was just so beautiful. I started watching it because Hannah had told me about it. I didn't realize it was a Nora Ephron movie. And I read the logline and I was like, a woman finds herself through cooking.
No.
This sounds so boring.
It's so good. I mean, it was
watching it, and I never thought about turning it off once it started. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, it is, and it's been longer since I've watched that one than any of the others we've talked about. But I know exactly the scenes you're talking about, and yeah, she is so good at subtext. She's so good at subtext, and you know, I think like the scene that keeps coming to mind for me in When Harry Met Sally, when we talk about this, even though there are lines there, it's also the same sort of thing. When Sally finds out that her ex-boyfriend is getting married, and they do talk about it and all of that, but the most powerful stuff there to me is what's not said, because when you have Sally calls Harry up, or he calls her up or whatever, and she just says, Joe's getting married, and his reaction is the thing there. And that is so based on things that it's not just that we didn't see it on screen. Harry and Sally never talked about that because, but we understand that because we have seen Sally in her little bit of denial from the beginning of, I'm fine, I'm healthy, I'm ready to date, you know, all these things. And yet Nora created it so that we knew from the very beginning Sally was not fine. And by the time we get to this inevitable, it wasn't that he didn't want to get married after all, it was that he didn't want to marry me. And suddenly we understand all the emotion behind it and what she's really, like, her secret insecurities all along that have never been said. And
She's so Just good me. At implementing She's so good. Those moments. And I, for those of you who don't know, we talked about Nora being married to Carl Bernstein for a short time. Unfortunately, he had an affair while she was pregnant mm-hmm. with her second child with him. And it was devastating. I was actually reading an article she wrote. It was a, I think a blog post or something somewhere that I found just talking about divorce and how difficult that one was. Because it was like, okay, like he cheated, he apologized, I'm going to stay with him. I'm married, having a second baby here any day. And it, you know, eventually she just learned it's just never going to change. And I can almost see how she's taking and shaping these experiences of her own heartbreak and her own devastation of that failed marriage and being hurt so deeply and shaping those moments in the movie to, I mean, it was never an affair in any of them, I don't think. I can't remember.
But... Billy Crystal's wife left him for another man in When Harry Met Sally, but that was apparently largely based on Rob Reiner, the director. Because he was recently divorced and back into the dating world. And so he was kind of Billy Crystal and Nora was kind of Meg Ryan.
Okay. So in that way, you know, it's like most of these other storylines have nothing to do with that. But yet she understands so deeply the power of emotion and just being able to sit in those moments. And she just blows it out of the water. Going back around to You've Got Mail, Kathleen Kelly sitting in her empty store. And there's the moment where she just sees her mom twirling her, this imaginary, oh, and I just cry every time at that part. Every time I cry, because I'm like, you feel the loss so deeply. And she is talking in this scene through kind of her inner monologue, which is really her emails to Tom Hanks' character, NY152. And... it's just so, so beautiful in that moment. And there's other moments, too, in all of the movies. But are the ones that just hit you.
Yeah, they do. And you know, it's like, no, she didn't specifically deal with cheating in a lot of the other ones, except Heartburn, which was based on her divorce.
Yes.
Oh, and, haven't seen that one.
Meryl Streep and Jack Nicholson. Ah. And it's, you know, and what I... love is she did take that heartbreak and like you said, she has used those emotions and she just has perfected bringing those emotions to the screen, but always with the laughter, you know, even that about her own divorce. Heartburn's not my favorite of her movies by any stretch of the imagination, but it's undeniably funny at times. And you know, it's just, it's so Nora. And you know, so I think, and I mean, honestly, I think more than anything else that I would say, I credit Nora Ephron in my writing, and not that I do it even half as well as she does, but that I'm always striving to do because of Nora, is we can deal with a whole lot of tough issues if we can laugh through them. Mm-hmm. And we can, sometimes people will willingly go with us on the journey and be willing to address some of the hard things if the laughs are in there too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think that is the thing, because it's like, yeah, you look at When Harry Met Sally was divorced, but also loneliness and feeling like you would never be loved and you were never going to find the person. And then Sleepless in Seattle with, you know, being a widower and being a single parent and, you know, and then you've got Mamel, like, losing your business, doing your, you know, all these things are such heavy issues. Mm-hmm. And yet we don't think of them that way.
No.
Because we laugh. So,
In speaking with that, I want to come back around to my favorite. I know that we've talked about You've Got Mail before, but it's hard to not choose You've Got Mail as your favorite when you're talking about Nora Ephron. It is, I remember watching that movie in... sixth grade, I'm forgetting my sixth grade teacher's name. Mrs. Solem. I feel like that's not great. I can remember most of my other elementary school teachers, apparently not my sixth grade teacher. I feel so bad.
Well, that's okay, because right now I'm like, She literally just said she watched it in sixth grade. I literally just said I watched it when I met my husband. I'm like, I feel old. Okay, go on, Edward.
It's okay. I've had plenty of moments where I feel old too, especially when a recent high schooler was playing in a talent show and somebody introduced the high schooler saying, and now she's going to play her favorite song from childhood, Owl City.
Yes. That firefly song.
Firefly song.
That was out like 3 years ago.
I know. But it's been 10. It's been 10 years since it's come out.
No, it has
I am not kidding you. It's been 10 years. She would have been like anywhere from like 5 to 7. So.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, go back to your sixth grade story. This is depressing. Keep going.
Back to Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks will fix everything. Okay.
I feel like Sally in that scene where she has that breakdown of, and I'm going to be 40. And he's like, when? She's like, someday. And he's like, in 8 years. I love that. But anyway, so I'm like, I'm going to be 90. That's how I feel right now.
And someday anyway. I'll be 90. Oh, man. But I'm going to go back around. You've Got Mail here because we completely just talked about You've Got Mail so much the last time around. I will try to refrain from going all intense on it, but You've Got Mail is a classic. I remember watching it in sixth grade when it first came out, and it was playing because it was PG movies, so our teacher had put it in, and I remember like it was the last day of school or near the end of school, wasn't really paying attention right away, and I just remember turning to the screen and looking at it, and like you could hear some of the conversation of the emails back and forth over the rest of the kids who are playing in the classroom. And I mean, like literally it's second to last day or last day of school. Everyone's chaotic. You know how kids are on the last day of school. I mean, there's no containing them. And here I was in the midst of the classroom, everyone's doing something. And I just remember my attention turned to the screen and I heard the dialogue. And I remember falling in love with her dialogue. She is so brilliant at writing this like witty but nostalgic, like it's very soft and sharp at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to describe. So I figured I'm just going to like quote a bunch of my favorite quotes and we can talk about them. And this one came up recently, just a couple days ago. I was in Target and Target has their little dollar corner, and in the little dollar corner, which is no longer the dollar corner. Can I pause and just like rant for a second about that? Come on, Target. What are you doing to me?
Dollar corner in Target?
Yes, Target has a dollar corner. It's no longer the dollar corner. It hasn't been in a while. But now everything's not like $1.
Food or the Target that sells clothes. In Australia, it only sells clothes. So I'm like, you had a dollar?
Oh, you've never.
But it sells food in America, doesn't it?
Didn't I take you to a Target in Minnesota when you were here?
Yeah, and I think I was like, what's all this food doing in here?
Understand still, and I took you to one. This is, I mean,
she
I'm pretty
has
sure
the
I
shop
took you
around the corner. She yes, has the shop around the corner around of Target, and you have the Fox Books of Target. So.
I love how this is all coming back around.
Always, life is You've Got Mail.
Anyway, I was in the Target like dollar section, and they have the hats, the cute little summer hats with a very wide brim, kind of the floppy hats. And I'm thinking to myself, I look cute in hats. I try it on, I take a picture of myself because there's no mirror, so I have to like take a selfie. And I look at the photo and I'm like, this is awful. Why would I ever buy this hat? And it immediately made me think of the wonderful quote that I know Bethany is gesturing to me right now. She's like, I know it. Once I read a story about a butterfly in the subway, and today I saw one. It got on at 42nd and off at 59th, where I assume it was going to Bloomingdale's to buy a hat. That will turn out to be a mistake, as almost all hats are.
So brilliant.
So tell us, Bethany, about the Daisies and wooing Katie McCaffrey, because You've Got Mail had an impact on your book.
Daisies and the daffodils. I'm getting to the... Oh, maybe that would be a spoiler.
What's that?
The daffodils.
I didn't... Oh, the daffodils. There's... I don't know if it would be a spoiler or not.
I could just mention that there are daffodils.
There are daffodils as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not pulling out the cover just for promotional purposes, I promise. But yeah, so those daisies are very much because of You've Got Mail, because as this character is, well, and by the way, Empire State Building is very much because of Sleepless in Seattle. Oh. So Nora has two nods on the cover. But yeah, it's like, daisies are the friendliest flower, of course, is such an iconic thing too. And so as my character, Will Whitaker, in the book is kind of recreating these romance scenes, one thing is daisies, and I will give a little spoiler here. This isn't bad though. He writes her this letter at a certain point in the book and she does get daisies, but he says basically, but I'm not giving you these because they're Kathleen Kelly's favorite. I'm giving them because I know they're yours. Sometimes I did actually listen. And that was such a nod to me, for me, to Nora, because that scene of when he brings her the daisies, and I think we did talk about this last time.
Yeah.
I love that scene so much because of what he'd been learning about her. And yes, you know, it was kind of deceptive and all this, but it's like what he was learning about her as shop girl, he was starting to make that transition of, oh, she is shop girl. And I don't know. I don't know what the question was. I'm all caught up in shop girl now. Yeah. So Wooing Katie McCaffrey is the story of a guy a couple who, after 4 years, they're maybe headed nowhere. They're not communicating well. She feels as if it's not going to work. And it kind of wakes him up when she ends things. It wakes him up. And so he begins this journey of trying to woo her and win her back and figure out maybe what she had wanted all along. And it's a lot more complex than that. But the gist of the romance story of it is that he, in his attempts to win her back, yeah, he goes to all her favorite romance movies and steals techniques, including a Nora meet at the top of the Empire State Building scene, which can't say any more about, but yeah, lots of Nora in this book.
Okay. So
Bethany.
Yep. Sorry. Go ahead, Jess.
I was just going to say, tell us where people can find your book. Tell us where people can find you. All that jazz.
Well, you can find the book wherever books are sold. If they don't have it, please ask for it and make them get it. except for, you know, Jess's library, which apparently has no system to make that happen.
Apparently doesn't let you request books.
What kind of an Australian library is that?
What's up with that?
I know. Other ones do. I don't know what's our problem.
Yeah. but you can find it, you know, christianbook.com, Book Depository, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual suspects. And you can find me at C. Bethany Wright, SEEBETHANYWRITE, across all the social media. And I have to say, I think we have a fair amount of fun on the social media pages. So I hope people will
try to hit a live video once if you can, guys. It's worth it because Bethany's lives, I feel like, are the best lives ever. I just join in and I'm like, oh, yes, this is great.
Bethany does have one of the most fun social media pages of all the different authors that I follow, all the pop culture conversations that she starts. That is just my jam.
I've had people ask, like, oh, so you must just do so much research to be able to, because, like, this is my brand. And I'm like, y'all, this is just me. I just talk in movie quotes and I chase pop culture rabbit holes. It's like, nope, there is no effort in this. I really could do myself some favors by being a little less me sometimes, but it is what it is. So join us, won't you?
But if you weren't you, then I wouldn't have the pleasure of just, you know, popping on a Facebook Live and randomly telling you things.
Oh, well, thank you. Good point. Yeah. And I'm glad you do that.
When I can.
And people, if you want to follow the Story Nerds podcast, then you can find us at storynerds.podbean.com or on Facebook at Story Nerds. And yeah, and Hannah, tell us about where people can find you.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I'm on Facebook and Instagram, Hannah Davis Author. And most of the time I'm on Instagram, and every once in a while I'll post on Facebook, but for the most part, that's where I live. And Jess is coming out with her debut really soon, so everyone needs to head on over to her pages. Jessica Kate Writing for both, I believe. Yes,
Jessica Kate Writing on Facebook and Instagram, and Love and Other Mistakes releases on July 30. So I can't
coming
wait.
Up super soon. We're so excited for it.
Really soon. And if you can't wait that long, then if you do go to jessicakatewriting.com and sign up to my newsletter, I have a sassy short called The Kiss Dare, which is lots of fun. And Bethany was awesome enough to endorse it for me. So
I was thrilled to. You guys will love it. Go get it for sure. So
it
good.
Was a good fun one. So yes. So connect with us online. Hop on the Story Nerds Facebook page where we will chat about Nora Ephron, and we will post a million GIFs and stuff in the comments. I love our GIF comment sections. They're so much fun. So I'm sure there's just going to be like tons of close-up of Tom Hanks' face and stuff on there.
I love how we both sighed. Tom Hanks is one of those people where even in his older age, he is so charming. I can't get enough of him anywhere. His interviews everywhere. I will watch him forever. And he and Rita Wilson together, adorable.
Oh, so cute.
I know.
So cute. And you know, I love that Nora picks these guys who used to pick these guys who aren't necessarily the hunks. You know, it's like Tom and Billy Crystal and who's Stanley Tucci and Julian Julia. It's like they aren't necessarily these drop dead gorgeous guys, and yet they're so attractive in her movies because of the amazing things they get to say. So,
and same with Will in wooing Katie McCaffrey. So, on that note, we're going to sign off, and thanks everyone for listening to this wonderful episode. Thank you, Bethany, for joining us.
Thank you. It was so fun.
It was definitely fun. Bye.